You know, Isaiah 61 says, to appoint unto them that mount, that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. Whenever you're feeling the heaviness in your life, get up and praise. That's what God has it for. I mean, he has every remedy. No, you don't have to take. You're depressed? Get up and praise. Feeling down and out? Get up and praise. He has every remedy for what we need in life. Whatever life throws at us, whatever the culture throws at us, whatever the enemy tries to throw at us, God has a remedy for everything. Praise. Prayer. Everything that comes our way, he has a remedy for. So we don't have to feel down and out every single day. Y'all know you wake up every single day a winner. You choose to be. People choose to go the other way. We wake up every single day. His mercies are what? Yesterday's gone. Bye-bye. Bye-bye yesterday. Come on. All right. Let's get into the message. Psalm 23, this is a very familiar passage. It's a passage that I love. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Jesus, he is the true shepherd. He gets it right every time. Every single time. The good shepherd has come so that we may have life and have it more abundantly. We know that from John 10:10. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. David is saying here, he is the Lord's sheep. Everything that David needed in his lifetime, God provided it for him. And it's the same way with us. Everything that we need for our life, God will provide it for us. So when was the last time you told the Lord, Lord, you're more than enough. You're more than enough. You're all that I need. You are El Shaddai. You are the Almighty. You are the Lord who provides. You are Jehovah Jireh. You are more than enough. I know that one thing that I need will make life really easy for me. But Lord, you are all that I need. That's it. You are my shepherd. I shall not want. Jesus, I'm placing you over everything else. God over everything. How about this one right here? God over everyone. God over everyone's opinion about me. God over every mistake. God over all of our sins. God over our shame. God over our guilt. God over condemnation that may come. God over our feelings and emotions. Your feelings and emotions can lead you down the wrong path. To say the wrong thing and to do the thing that the shepherd doesn't ever want you to do. Our faith is in the word of God because it will never, ever change. Our feelings and emotions can change, man, like a roller coaster. Up one day, down the next. Up one, down the next. It can change with circumstances. Speaking of roller coasters, my wife likes roller coasters. I hate them. So she likes it when I ride with them because I'm screaming like out of my mind. Get me off this thing. It's only 60 seconds. Get me off. And she's just crying. It doesn't have to loop. Just get me something just like, okay, I'm good, man. And she's just laughing away. But that's the way our feelings and emotions can go. They can go up and down and up and down. But his word is just steady. It's solid. It's faithful. We can rely on God's word because it is the sword of the spirit. So anytime you're going through stuff, we can go right back to his word. It never fails. It's been proven time and time again. It never, ever fails. You should be walking with the confidence in who Jesus is. Walking in humility because of his grace and mercy. You didn't get here on your own. You didn't get here on your own. You didn't get out of that jam where you that you were in on your own. You didn't get healed on your by yourself. That was by the grace of God. You didn't get delivered out of that pit of hell alone. You didn't do that yourself. That was God. He was looking out for you. You know, I can go back in my life and just realize I didn't know that God was in my life, but he was a part of it because he was looking out for me. Even when I didn't think I had a relationship with him, he was still looking out for me, had people praying over me. You have people praying over you, even though you don't think it. You had your parents, your grandparents praying over their grandkids and stuff. You didn't even know it. Getting you out of those jams, speaking into your life constantly. Whenever you come over to the house, they're speaking the word. They're loving on you. They're hugging on you. They're sending you text messages. Don't ever stop doing that. Because that's what makes you who you are. Continue to send those texts. Continue to send those messages to people. You never know if they need it. A word of encouragement. Text your sons. Text your daughters. They could be at school doing something. Just text, hey, this is just a good word for you. You don't have to post it. Text it to them. That'll mean more. Hey, I'm proud of you. I'm proud of the person you became. I'm proud of what God is doing in your life. That goes a long way. That word can get them through that day. Then you can have another word for them the next day. And then the next day and the next day, because you know, God's wisdom is infinite. You ever think about something? That's like, if I were to just think about certain things right now, there's no way I can think about all of it. But anytime I'm writing out my message, I say, Lord, I forgot about that story. I forgot about this one here. I forgot about that one there. To go along with his word, I forgot. He can bring it back. Jesus is your true shepherd. He did all those things for you. He got you out of that pit. God would take care of you if you let him. He will take care of you. Scripture talks about it in Proverbs 3:5. It says, in all your ways, acknowledge him and he shall direct what? There you go. Or he will make your path straight. In verse 2, it says, he makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. Wherever Jesus leads you, rest assured there will always be green pastures there. It's not going to be all spotted up. There will always be green pastures there because that's the type of provider he is. Even if you think you're out in the desert, he will lead you besides green pastures. His word, true, genuine connections with people, and the positive ministry of the Holy Spirit. Everything that comes to harass and trouble, you know this, with Jesus, you will find true rest. Everything that will come in your life to harass you and trouble you, get on your last good nerve, you rest assured that when you get in line, you get in that presence of God, all that stuff doesn't even matter. It's just blocked out. I've always marveled at mothers when they're going down the aisle and then they have their kids coming with them and the little kids, one in a cart and two on the side, kind of holding the tail or what have you. Some of them might even have leashes on them. That's a new one. I'm glad we didn't have that because I know we would have been dragged all over the place. And it's amazing how they can just still be shopping and they're yelling at the top of their lungs. Not even moved. Ah, mom, I want this. Just shopping, just. And I'm like, don't you hear your kids? Not even phased. See, that's another level of concentration. Of just, I got to get stuff done. Yes. Or how about, I don't think my wife, growing up, you know, raising our kids up, she's never had a quiet time in the bathroom because you'll see little hands underneath the door on a road trip. Mom, your dad's in here. Your dad has a name. You can call him. But see, there's a connection that mothers have that fathers don't. You get to see them every day. You get to look them in the face. You get to wipe the tears from their eyes. You get to wipe the smudges off their face. It's a whole nother level of love that God has placed in your heart for your children. And that love doesn't ever go away. It's unconditional. And just like the true shepherd Jesus is, he does that with us. Man, he'll say a righteous man will fall 7 times, but we'll get back up. Come on. Dust yourself off. Let's go. Yep, you failed. You missed it. I get that. Let's go. We got work to do. It's different with dads. You fall down, man, get up and get on up. Come on, let's go. Let's go. We got to be tough with them. But mothers, this is the nurture. They nurture their children. They're nurturing, they're taking care of, you know, they're developing, helping to develop their character. And their understanding on how to treat people. My mom, I said, hey, yes, sir. No, sir. Yes, ma'am. No, ma'am. And if you didn't, well, you just get prayed for. It's a good thing because they're teaching you. Jesus is the only one who can restore what has been damaged mentally, physically, and emotionally. And I just ask God to do that for you right now. Just ask him right now. Whatever you're going through right now, just ask, Lord, restore that. Restore that unto me. My physical body, restore that unto me, Lord. My mental health, restore that unto me. Your word says that the memory of the righteous is blessed. Restore that to me. Emotionally, if your emotions are out of whack, restore that to me, Lord. He'll give it to you. He'll replenish. He'll restore it because that's who he is. You never have to go empty-handed. All your anxieties, all your fears, all your emotions, just cry out to God right now. There's nothing wrong with it. See, the thing is, you have to realize that even with your own kids, you have your kids, outside of that, you're not responsible for other people's happiness. And sometimes we try to do that and we're overextending ourselves. We got to get to the place of where we can control what we can control. And too much we try to control outside of what God has given us. That's where we get frustrated, is when we do those things. I can't control what goes on a basketball game, no matter how much I want to yell at the TV. No, I don't have any money on the game. But I can't control what happens. So why am I getting all worked up, raising my blood pressure over a game? I can't control that. It's out of my control. You got to live a long life. 120, Tom. That's why. And you never have to explain yourself to people who are set on misunderstanding you. Sometimes people are just going to flat out misunderstand you on purpose. You don't have to explain yourself to them. Just continue to do what God has given you to do. You wake up every day. You're a winner in Christ. You have the victory in Christ. Now you just have to walk it out. It's a new day and yesterday's gone. So you don't have to walk in the light or in the shadow of what happened yesterday. So just give it to God. Control what you can control. It says, for God did not give us a spirit of fear, but what? Power, love, and a sound mind. If you read different translations, self-control. Jesus will always lead you into truth, his justice, his mercy, and his faithfulness. His righteousness never comes with deception and lies. God will never lead you down the wrong path. Never. That's why it's always good to go to him. That's why it's always good to pray about everything, because he won't lead you down the wrong path. I guarantee you, it'll be just exactly what you need for your life in that moment. And sometimes we got to be willing to accept that answer. Paul had to pray 3 times for a thorn to get out of his flesh. You know, he didn't like the first answer. Paul, my grace is sufficient for you. Is there anybody else? He had to ask three times before he realized that he couldn't do it in his own strength. He had to rest in what God has said. And in his weakness, this is where God is strong. He allowed the power of Christ to rest upon him. We got to get to the place where we allow the power of Christ to rest upon us rather than trying to go out and do it in our own power. God, I'm giving it to you. If I trust you, that's 100%. I'm letting it go. I trust you. If you raise your kids up right, you trust them when they're going out, but you're still going to pray for them. Make the right decisions. I don't want to get a phone call at 3 o'clock in the morning, 2 o'clock in the morning, or 11 o'clock. Don't get me out of bed. You want them making those right decisions, so you're going to pray. And it's the same way with God. He's giving you his word. But here's the thing. God will get us out of those jams. He will deliver us out of all of them, even if it was our fault or someone else's fault. Because that's the God he is. He's the true shepherd. In verse 4, it says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear what? For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Is the valley real or is it just a shadow? Trying to find my shadow. Am I a vampire? What? What is going on? It's right here. I see it. There it is right there. I'm not afraid of my shadow. He says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. The valley is real, but the shadow is just a shadow. We get spooked by other people's shadows. Now, I'm not going to say I've never jumped before when I was younger. But that's all it is. It's a shadow. It can't harm you. My shadow cannot hurt my wife or hurt anyone else. It's just a shadow. Satan can't touch you. The enemy can't touch you. Those things can't touch you, as though if you would realize who you are in Christ and understand how small Satan is, he's just a deceiver. If you understand, if you get that revelation of how great you are on what's living on the inside of you compared to what's out there in the world, man, what's there to fear? Nothing. It's a shadow. I will fear no evil. And this is David talking, and he's the one who slayed the giant. Right? See, shadows, every once in a while, might raise a hair in your neck. But a shadow can't hurt you. It may look like you're surrounded by all your enemies, but God surrounds them all. And you did not receive, again, the spirit of bondage to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we call out, Abba, Father. In Luke 12, it says this. I'll come back to those scriptures as well. Since Luke 12 says this, and I say to you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body and after that have no more that they can do. But I will show you whom you should fear. Fear him who, after he has killed, has power to cast into hell. Yes, I say to you, fear him. You never, ever have to fear man or woman or what have you. People can act like they're tough, but yet they are soft as charming. You don't have to fear anyone that breathes the same air as you ever. God is bigger than that. In John 14, 1, it says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. So that lets us know that we can let our hearts trouble us at times. Why? Because we're thinking on the wrong things. We can let our hearts trouble. Proverbs 4, 23. What does that say? Cash, you know? Proverbs 4, 23. Guard your, for out of it flows the issues of life. We don't allow our hearts to be troubled over the circumstances that comes our way. You're the righteousness of God. You are a royal priesthood. You're at the top of the food chain. And can nothing knock you down? Now, it's not something we go around boasting about because we're going to boast in the Lord. But it is something that you really need to take in consideration. Wait, I'm waking up. His mercies are new every single day. I have the victory in him. He's got my back everywhere I'm going. I have the wisdom of God at my disposal. I mean, like, the Holy Spirit is with me. I have his word, which is the sword of the Spirit. I've got the armor of God. What is there to fear? Why am I so down and out? Why am I so gloomed? Why does it seem like everything is just getting ready to just, I'm about to fall apart like a $2 suitcase? I've had some of those $2 suitcases. They fold pretty good. Just put it in your pocket. Could it be that you might be trusting in yourself all the time and not in him? Because sometimes that's where it goes. Whenever I get frustrated on certain things, it's because of me. I was trusting in him. I was trusting in my ways. I just got to the place where I just stopped trusting in myself and put my trust in him. Bible says, cursed is the man who places their trust in man. We trust in God. In 1 John 4:18, it says this, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out all fear because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. Perfect love casts out fear. So if you got fear in your heart, you got to go back and check up on your love hole. Fear involves torment. You end up, all these voices in your head and stuff just coming at you, coming at you, coming at you. It's tormenting you. Lord, I'm sending my children out. They're yours. Protect them. Send your angels over them. Angels are messengers. Sent forth to minister to those who are heirs of salvation. They work on your behalf. Send them out. Send them out to your children to protect them. You don't have to fear. Go about your business. Have some coffee or what have you. Go out to lunch with somebody, but you're sending your children out. You don't have to worry about that. They got them. God's got them. You send them to school, you don't really worry about it. Matter of fact, you know, some people don't, anybody know the culture slang for Karen? Anybody know those Karens out there? They just get all up in your business and stuff. I mean, then they got Kens that are like that too. I mean, you could be walking down the street and, where are you going? What's going on? Okay, I'm just walking here. Power walking. But they'll get all up in your business. I said, I know how to solve all these school shootings. Put those Karens there. And those Kens. They don't have anything to do. And if they see somebody that's shouldn't be there, they're going to call it in. They're going to go and, hey, what are you doing? Get on out of this car. All right, do you go to school here? Do you need to be in class? If not, do you need to leave? They'll take care of that situation. Seriously. We won't have any more school shootings. They'd put a whole new meaning for PTA. Well, let's get them there. Perfect love casts out all fear. See why your love walk is important? When an enemy tries to call you out, you keep yourself in love. When an enemy starts to run his mouth, you keep yourself in love. When an enemy tries to gather up others to come against you, you keep yourself in love. You will fear no evil, for God is with you every step of the way. You have the word of God, which is always the sword of the Spirit, and the Holy Spirit with you. It lights the valley of darkness with his word. You can light it up. There will be no more shadows to worry about, to be concerned about, when you have his word illuminating your path. Verse 5 in Psalms 23:5. You can go back to that. It says, you prepare a table before me In the presence of my enemies, you anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Sheep will always be hunted by others. You are God's sheep. You have a target on your back. You will always be hunted. You will always have opposition. Enemies, you will always have enemies if you belong to Jesus. They hated him, they're going to hate you. If you don't have enemies, then you're going to have to wonder, do I belong to Jesus? Or am I living a life that is Christ-honoring and Christ-centered and Christ-focused? So whatever Jesus is serving at the table, you can rest in this. It will be what you need in the season that you are living in. If it's hope, that's at the table. If it's victory, that's at the table. If it's healing, that's at the table. Right before your enemies, God's prepared it. In the midst of chaos, in the midst of a battle, I always think of just medieval times and stuff like that, and everybody, all this fighting going on, and God is just, here you go. Come have a seat. I got all these people behind. They won't touch you. Whatever you need, sit down and eat. Sit down and have your fill. Whatever it is you need in life, spiritually, mentally, emotionally, what have you, he's got it for you. Restoration at his table. Miracles are at his table. And he doesn't run out. He's the first one to start the all you can eat. But it doesn't run out. Joy. It's there at the table. And sometimes we don't want to sit it because we think we're unworthy of it. He's made you worthy. Jesus died for you so that you can have that relationship with the Father. You can come to him any given time. Have a seat at his table. It's for you. And he's not going to turn you away. Come on. Verse 6, it says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. How long? All the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. No generational curses are following you. Bad luck is not following you. Pain doesn't have to follow you. Goodness and mercy shall follow you all your days. You now have full assurance of what Jesus has done by faith. He leads us and we follow him wholeheartedly. And follows us every single day. It's goodness and mercy. God doesn't have evil and condemnation following you. His goodness and his mercy. Get that out of your head. Why is it everywhere I go, it's just bad luck? Every single time I wash my car, it rains. No, no, no. I am the head and not the tail. I am above and not beneath. If you have to say that and believe that when you speak it, your self-talk is going to go a long way. Instead of holding your head down and you're thinking it's humility, that's not humility. It's resting in what Jesus has done for you. It's his righteousness, not yours. David said, goodness and mercy follows him. And what you have right now is better than what he ever had. You're in a better covenant. Because every spiritual blessing is yours. I've never understood why people will say, well, the tithe was done away with and all this other stuff in the old covenant. And well, the curse was done away with. The curse is done away with. Jesus became a curse for us so that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles. He's blessed us with every spiritual blessing. So whatever curse that you could be living in, that could be in your family, that you might be passing down or what have you, he's done away with that too. You don't have to live in it. Well, you know, my family was like this, so I have to live in it. No, you don't. But you have the right to live in what Jesus has given you. Well, my dad is like this, and the doctor said this and this and this. God bless the doctors, but the doctors ain't Jesus. The doctor's not going off of the word. This is your instruction manual. This right here, which you should be having. She's got it on her phone. This your mom's Bible? Sandra Oakley. The word. This is your instruction manual. This is what you live by. So no matter what report you get, you can say thank you, but no thank you. You can say it nicely. This is what, encounter it with the word. Oh, that's not going to work. Too late. it's already been working for 2,000 plus years, right? It's been working. And I guarantee you, the more and more you stand on the word, the more pushback you're going to get. That's crazy. But it is. It's so true. The more and more you stand on the word, the more and more you choose to be obedient, the more and more you choose to do what is right in the sight of God, not because you're trying to obtain salvation, just because you just want to be a blessing to other people, the more and more you do that, the more and more you're going to get pushed back. The more and more you're going to get lied on. The more and more people are going to say, doesn't matter. This is what matters. God's word. This is what you live by. If you don't know where to start, you can start in the New Testament where you are a new creature in Christ in the book of Ephesians. You can start in the Gospels. You can read a proverb every day, and I guarantee you, you're going to be successful. It's going to tell you what to do and how to do it and what not to do and how to not to be like certain other individuals. Just the book of Proverbs. Well, I don't read the King James. They have every translation that you need. They got plain English version. I mean, I might have to write the brother's version. I use that a few times. I need to get back to that. I like that version. I can flow a lot better. God is not withholding any good thing from you. He wants no lack in your life. In Psalms 34:7, it says, the angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear him. 300 times angels appear in the Bible. Angels are unseen, but they can also be seen. They can materialize their body or what have you. We know that. Help to rain down sulfur in Sodom and Gomorrah. Can a natural born man defeat one of God's angels? Can just a natural person out there in the world defeat one of God's angels? Absolutely not. And yet angels encamp around you for those who fear the Lord. So he's sitting there protecting you and shielding you and listening to what you have to say, because angels hearken at the voice of God. And they're waiting for you to say something to give out a command. Some of your angels, some people's angels, not in here, but hopefully not in here, not in here. But your angels, some people's angels are just unemployed because we haven't sent them out. They're waiting for you to send them out. Hey, go get my wife. I have a wife. I'm just saying that for someone else. But you can say that. Hey, go get my husband. Lord, you know who I need, where I need it. Go get my angels. Go get my husband. I wrote it out on my notebook on how I want my wife to be. She's got to be tall, athletic, dark skin complected. She's got to have a heart for God. She was very tanned. So that counts. I wrote it out in my blue spiral notebook. And sure enough, here she is. 20 some years later. I don't even know how many. 28? Well, Isaiah's 27, so it has to be 28. Yeah. Okay. two of those years have been good. She didn't hear that. She didn't hear that. She said maybe. Okay, she did hear it. No, so here's the thing. You were made in the image of God, and angels are messengers that are sent to work for you. Put them to work. Put them to work. Seriously, when you get done here, put them to work. They serve you if you're about the kingdom of God. Angels won't go out and do dirt for you. They serve you. But if you fear the Lord, the angel of the Lord will encamp around you and listen to what you're saying. And they are ready to deliver out what you're going through, deliver you out of what you're going through. In verse 8, it says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him." You're blessed if you trust in God. And on the other side of that, you're cursed if you trust in man. This right here can solve a lot of problems in your life if you place your trust in God. If you see the goodness of God, if you want to see the goodness of God, it's not something that you can read about. We can read about it, and then that's it. You know, I can read a lot about honey and the benefits that honey may have, but you know what? I can't taste it. I can't experience it unless I put it in my mouth. You can't experience God's goodness unless you see it for yourself, unless you experience it. You can read about it. I can read about all the great revivals that have gone on in the years. And I read about Smith Wigglesworth and John G. Lake and, man, what God had done. And John G. Lake ended up shutting down a hospital. They gave him a medical license to practice what he was practicing and preaching. He would go to people's homes and preach the word to them. And people get healed by the word, by the power of God, by countering all their unbelief. But see, I can read about it, but I want to experience it myself. I want to have my own experiences. And we should want to have our own experiences. I can't live my life through my dad and through my mom. That's their faith. Those are their experiences. I have to have my own. We should want to have our own. It's a personal relationship with God. Experience. Taste. And see, you can't taste that the Lord is good. You can't see that the Lord is good unless you experience it yourself. Get a real experience. Verse 9, it says, "Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints. There is no want to those who fear him. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Are you his saints? Yes, you are. It says, "Fear the Lord." So there is no want for you when you fear the Lord. Another translation says, "You shall not lack." The New Living Translation says this in verse 9. It says, "Fear the Lord, you his godly people, for those who fear him will have all they need." And then even in the Passion Translation, it says, "Worship and awe and wonder all you who've been made holy, for all who fear him will feast with plenty." Verse 10, it says, "The young lions lack and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing." So those who fear God and seek him will lack any good thing, will not lack any good thing. Good things come from God. You will not lack it. If there's lack in your life, because again, Jesus says, "I come to give you life and give it to you more abundantly." There's no lack in that. If you're lacking it, then it's not from God. Get it restored. Period. You have that right to get it restored. If you got organs in your body that is lacking, that is not working the way it should, God's got new ones for you. Get it restored. Guess what? And it doesn't cost you anything but just you believing in him. God can regenerate body parts. There's years ago when we were at a conference, I believe you guys were there at that time, and they had Ron Luce that was talking, and Andrew Womack, and he was talking about regeneration and all this other stuff. And I think that's the year we, Pastor West was like, "I think we need to change up the name because it used to be 180. And then I was like, "Okay, let me think about that. Let me pray about that." And then everything with the conference that was just going on, it was just like, it was just put together very, very well. And that's where I came up with Regenerate R3. Now, I was trying to look online to try to find, what does regenerate mean? And let me get it. And it's a damaged body part. I said, "Lord, what do you want your kids to be? Restored, refreshed, and renewed." I was like, "Whoa, that was good." God can regenerate your body parts. Kidneys, he can regenerate them right now. I speak to that right now in the name of Jesus. Heart failures, stents, blood clots. Everything that you're going through right now in life, he's already taking care of it. Do I still need to go to the doctor? Yeah, go to the doctors and let him know. I said, and he'll be like, what is going on here? What are you doing? What are you doing? Keep it up. Whatever you're doing, keep it up. The doctor said that to me when I was in the hospital, when they told my wife that they didn't know my heart was going to keep up. And I go, bring my Bible. Had the Bible falling apart. But thank God I wasn't. It's the Bible that Gary DeVoe had given to me years ago. And I would be there just reading it. And I'm just, and I got some music going on and I'm just dancing. And it's just like, that's all I can do. That's all I can move. But I was just, and then my oxygen levels were staying there. They come in and just take me off of some more, just little by little. Cause I had to stay at 98, 99. Cause before it was like at 92. And once I began reading the word and I began praising God, that stuff just began to stay at that level. And then they come in and just reduce it down some more and down some more. One thing that the enemy can't stop you from doing is reading the word. He can't. He can't stop you from believing. He can't stop you from loving. He can't stop you from healing. He can't stop you from being healed. Cataracts, in the name of Jesus, we call that out. IBS. We call that out in the name of Jesus. We thank you. Twisted intestines. We call that healed in the name of Jesus. Severe migraines. We thank you, Lord, for healing that. Herniated discs, Lord, we thank you for healing. All of that in the name of Jesus. Deviated septums. I don't know if that's how you say it, but y'all know what I'm talking about. We thank you. Thank you. Be healed. In the name of Jesus. Be healed. Tumors. Fall in the name of Jesus. And if you have a tumor in your body, we command it to be healed right now in the name of Jesus. There is no place that God's word can't operate in your life. Fingers, we command you to grow back in the name of Jesus. Took me a while to say that. But my faith is there. And they never tell, as in they tell you, never, ever release your faith. Say something unless you're ready to release your faith. I believe it in the name of Jesus. No more anxiety. It doesn't belong to you. Leave it here. At the altar. So when you leave here, you're walking with something new. And restored. And healed. New knees. In the name of Jesus. New hips. In the name of Jesus. Restored marriages in the name of Jesus. How's your husband doing? He's doing good. Did something happen to him? He hurt his hip. I didn't know that. I knew something happened to him, but I didn't know it was his hip. Thank you. We just pray for them. We lift them up. And if you got kids anywhere else, I'm going to just let you know, like, they're off. Pray for your kids. I know they're old enough to make their own decisions, but still doesn't matter. You still pray for them. You don't ever stop praying for them. Pray for them. And even if your relationship has been broken, God can bring the prodigals back. Because that's what he does with us. If we were to ever be lost, he'll bring you back to him. And it would be like we've never missed a beat, man. How's it going? Come here, let me put a robe on you. Let me put a ring on you. Welcome back. Pray for your children, your adult children. Pray for them. Don't try to control them, but pray for them. And then if they pop off, then you just, hey, don't have me rest you down. Because you know what? You're still the parent. And you still can speak into their life, and you still can love them, and you still can care for them and their grandbabies. Because one day, I know this for a fact, they're going to miss that. They are going to miss that. So don't you give up on your children. Your mom's never given up on you, has she? Told you, she's a warrior. Not a worrier, a warrior. Even though she does like K-State. I guess that's the power cat, huh? There it is. You stick with God. Seems like you've just been in a cycle. Like you're just stuck in that cycle. Well, I break that off for you in the name of Jesus. No more. You're going to start bouncing back a lot quicker than you ever have before. Years ago, there's been a study about a pastor preaches this and stuff like that, but they said they interviewed a lot of people who had like 100 years or what have you. And every single one of them, why do you think you're living this long? What is it? Is there some type of magic or whatever the case may be? What is it? How is it that you're able to live this long? No, it wasn't the Dr. Pepper a day or anything like that. It was, I've seen that woman with that. I think, and I've outlived all my doctors and I drink a Dr. Pepper a day. This is pretty cool. But they all said their ability to bounce back from big events that may have came to take them out. And sometimes we want to hurt onto that pain and keep it going and stuff like that. And people never get out of that. They just immediately just bounce right back. No, you can't change it after it's happened. Loved ones die. It'll take people. They'll be in a funk for 4 or 5 years. They're just able to bounce right back. Bounce back. If I had a ball, you bounce that, right? You had a basketball, you'd be able to bounce it. You have one of those super balls, power balls, you'd be able to bounce it. But you understand, but the harder the throwdown, the higher the bounce. You're going to bounce back. So the more people throw you down, just bounce back. Why are they so vibrant? They're bouncing back. Pastor Scott Webb teaches that. That's a good message. He says it a lot better than I do. I don't do it justice. But be able to bounce back from all the pain that caused you. Bounce back. Act like nothing ever happened. Then there's times where you do mourn. There's times where you do care. There's times when you cry. There's times for that. There's seasons for that. But don't allow it to get you down. Mothers, you bounce back because your children need you. Your husband needs you. Your family needs you. You bounce back. You're a lot stronger than you think. I mean, you pushed out children. You're a lot tougher than you know. My goodness. If it's anything like spraining an ankle, my. I played on a sprained ankle before, man. That's tough. That's not a good joke. I heard Charles Barkley say that. I'll give you another one. No, I won't. I won't. Because it's not good. Well, God bless you. I know I took up a lot of your time. But Father God, we thank you for today. We thank you for all you've done, Lord. We thank you, Lord, because you are the true shepherd and we shall not lack any good thing because, Lord, we fear you. And you deliver us out of everything that we've gone through. And you've been faithful to us every season that we've lived our lives. And every season you've always been there, Lord. And I thank you. Father, remind them to send their angels out. They've been unemployed for a little bit, but to send them out to get and do what you have called them to do and what they have voiced their mouth to say, because they are ministering spirits sent forth to minister to those who are heirs of salvation, Lord. And we thank you. We thank you for all the mothers that are here today. We thank you for their life, health, and strength. We thank you for their families. We thank you, Lord. The creativity that they have. They've been given a house, but they turn it around and make it a home. We thank you. You can't do that without a mother. You can't do that without a woman. Lord, we thank you. And we give you all the glory, honor, and praise in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. God bless you. God bless you. You stay at it, Dina. Jesus loves you. I know Doug gets on you. Just kidding. God bless you.
Thank you for joining us today. If you want more information about Westview Church or would like to listen to a previous broadcast, we invite you to check out our website at westviewchurch.tv or like our Facebook page at Westview Church of Hayes.